See, America is not going to be. God told me when the earthquake hits, America's going to be split right down the middle, and America is not going to be recognizable. He said food was going to be non-existent, and these things are coming upon the land, and you guys need to get your head out of the sand, and don't walk around in fear, but walk around being close to God as you can get, because he said when all this hits, he would take care of those who were his. Now, you have to make sure you belong to him and just not in your head. You have to know the shadow of a doubt that you are God's child and you're walking in his precepts and not in your own. Then an email came across my email where a prophet said that God showed her that this new army that was coming forth, he just gave us the prophetic word, you know, a couple of days ago, but she got it today. And where these new you guys that are coming forth you're not going to worry about nothing. You're going to just take the enemy and just wring his neck, period. And Bob Larson on his blog, if you want to read it near you go home tonight, he's interviewing a pastor who is so on fire for deliverance. And the other pastors have come on the scene, already have their churches, are really on fire for deliverance. And they said there's no other way to go but deliverance. And God said he was raising up this army in Joel chapter 2. He was raising up this army. They wouldn't be afraid of anything. So you guys, you know, if you're still fooling around on the other side of the fence, I feel sorry for you, because this generation is coming up that has already come up right now is going to do greater exploits than any other church any other person in church history. And if you're playing around with the devil and think he's cute, well, then you deserve what you get, which will be nothing. And I know I sound a little bit harsh, but I get so sick and tired of people playing church. I really do. When God has so much to offer you, and he's given you promise after promise after promise. So what if we don't see the promises right now? God is not a man that he should lie. And the promises are still yes, and they are still amen. He didn't tell you what day was going to happen now, did he? So what are you getting all excited about? It'll happen in his timing. It'll happen when he knows that when it does happen, it will be secure and nobody's going to be able to take it from you. But in the meantime, we have to be walking with God, not walking with whoever. I mean, God is so good, he had me write two articles for the newsletter. I wrote one, and I sent to Chris, I said, what do you think about this? And he said, oh, it's really good. I said, well, when I get all the scriptures to it, I'll send it. Then I forgot I had it. And so then I sat down, and God gave me another one. I didn't want to even ask, and he just gave me another one. And I sent it, and Chris said, didn't you already send one? So anyhow, that's how God is. I think we put the other one on just on there so people could read it. We aren't going to put it in the newsletter. But see, so I'm saying, if you would just sit, and not again, if you just walk around doing your work and your mind is constantly stayed on Christ, he'll just start speaking to you and you run real quick to write it down. You don't have to be sitting there immobilized in a chair looking at the wall waiting for a word. You don't have to do that. All right? Just constantly have your mind stayed on Christ. Say, God, my ears are open for your voice. And some days you'll do that and you don't hear nothing and you'll say, God, have I done something wrong that I didn't hear your voice today? No, you didn't do anything wrong. He just wasn't speaking. So, you know, then don't try to make him speak either. Well, I just heard God say that he wants you to listen now to the voice of instruction so you can listen to the voice of instruction tomorrow and the next day and the next day. All right, some of you in here, I'm just going to finish whatever God's saying here. Some of you in here still have a book in you that you have not yet written. And God said, as you get before my face, I'm going to give you that book. In other words, he'll dictate your book to you. And he wants you to do that because there's books in you that nobody else is ever going to have in them. And he wants you to write those books. All right. I sat down 2 years ago and started writing a book. I got a page. That's all I have of it. But still, when the day arrives and he wants me to do it, he'll give me the whole book. Are you understanding this? We're too busy with mundane things in the world. Are we not? Chris is too busy getting upset with the politics. You see what I'm saying? We get all hung up in the world, don't we? And we can't really hear the important things that God is trying to get us to hear. I was going to tell Sister Barbara, you know, I was reading something about what Putin's doing, and I was thinking about how these people are so upset. Their families were being pulled out of their homes, raped, and killed. And, you know, and I'm thinking, here, Sister Barbara's worried about 4,000 doors with window blinds, wondering where they're at. And these people are being pulled out of their homes, raped, and shot, you know. You know, that just came to me. But isn't that how we all do? You know, what's really important really isn't important to God. What's important is important to God. The important thing is what's going on out there to a lost and dying generation of people. Well, Father, I truly do thank you. And Holy Spirit, I know you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. And we still love you, and we still want you to stay with us tonight. And we want you to interrupt us anytime you feel like it. And Holy Spirit, just drop upon us tonight. We love that fresh feeling of you moving through us, taking us to higher heights and deeper depths. Father, be with us right now. Fill us, Father God, to overflowing. And let us be ever grateful that you do love us. You do have grace and mercy for us. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you all understand that God is really displeased with the fact that we can't love one another? You know, God told me, he said, your house is still divided. That makes me weep because that means the right love is not in my own home. He didn't say I was divided, but my house is divided. You know, you could live. Yeah, well, then Isaiah came to me. Woe am I, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst of unclean people. And that's when God came, and the angel came and touched his lip. I might even bring that out. It touched his lips, and you and God changed him. So, in other words, this what God was showing me through that scripture was, you can live with amongst unclean people, but you yourself are not unclean. You understand that? You know, so don't you say, well, I live in a house with a bunch of dumb stuff, and so I'm dumb with them. No, you're not dumb with them. You just keep yourself close to God, and you allow God to move on their hearts as you pray for them. All right? All right. This is about angelic help. God said, I am sending fresh help. And Hebrews 1:14 says, talking about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Angels were sent to all of us to help us and to help those who are seeking salvation. And so God, help for these end times. In Matthew 13:36 says, and Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. Jesus answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is a son of man. You know, Jesus. All right. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, which are angels. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. In other words, they're evil angels. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, where we're at right now. And the reapers are the angels. So God has been telling us that we have angels who want to assist us in this harvest. Are we calling on those angels? Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. Now, the Son of Man is Jesus, right? Will send out his angels, holy angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom, you know, God's kingdom, all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. How many times has God said lately there will be gnashing of teeth? He's been saying that. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, did you hear what God is saying here? Well, you have the good angels, you have the evil angels. God's angels are doing their work, Satan's angels are doing his work. So you have two different things going on here. God's angels are vying for the souls of the people, and Satan's angels are vying for the souls also. And it's as you and I go forth into the harvest, and we take the anointing of God with us, and also ask angels to come and assist us, that we're going to win this harvest, and the enemy's going to lose out in the whole thing. God said, it is what I do best, love you to life. In Psalm 46:1 says, I am your present help in all things. I'm getting together a really good sermon that God gave me the other day, and I'm anxious to give it because it's so neat and unique to me. You might already know, but to me it's unique, all right? God said, I send help, I send glory, which is my tangible presence. So now, yes, now I am sending more help than I have ever sent before. I am listening to the bride and the Spirit say, come. Kingdom come, this is the name of an angel. Kingdom come, an angel with immense ability, the angel of great harvest. God said, I love to help you. I love to help you in ways that I may seem foreign to you. Why? So I may expand your thought patterns inside the pages of unwritten word outside your comfort zone. And really and true, this is what God is doing to me. He's given me just one or two words. And as I dig into the Bible, there's stuff there that just goes on and on and on that I've never seen before. All right? God said, I desire to give you blessings of hope. Yes, blessings of hope. There will be a changing of the angelic guard. Once again, I am doing this, says the Lord. I have sent kingdom come, the angel of great harvest, in the midst of many, many camps. And in these camps, my kingdom is preached. And when God said that, I feel like we're one of those camps where the kingdom of God is preached. And I just know that I know that I know that God has sent this kingdom come angel in here to help bring in that great harvest. I just know that. Don't you feel the Spirit of God right now? Don't you just know that? You know, we have angels all around about. This is what God said. We have angels all around about this room right now. And there's one in your corner. And there's one right by you, Adriana. Deborah, there's one by you. Aaron, there's one by you. He says, can you see them? Can you feel them? Amen. And Luke 16:16 says, yes, kingdom come is an angel of immense ability. He moves with ease. He is a driving force to you in the abyss. Listen to this, Alan. He is able to touch principalities that have caused men to be discouraged. So when you're doing deliverance, and I would say call on the kingdom come angel to assist you, and the deliverance will go quicker. Take a hold of your heart, dear ones. Let me wipe away your fears. Gird up the loins of your mind. In 1 Peter 1:13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And God said, yes, gird. Secure to yourself the very words I have spoken to you. And everything God's spoken to you, he's saying, secure to yourself. Gird up your mind, secure your mind. Keep them ever before you, because I am moving. Whatever God has spoken to you that's going to happen in your life, that is going to happen. And he wants you to keep that in front of you, because the enemy's trying to steal it from you. The God said, and just keep whatever the words he spoke right there and repeat them to the devil. God said two types of angels sent to help bring in the harvest. Focus and impact. That's two more different angels. Focus and impact. I am sending two names of righteous angels to the earth. They are being dispatched to help bring in the harvest. They are many in number, those who bear the two names. They are many in number, these who bear the two names. They will work fast and furious to help you in the times ahead. So remember, focus and impact. The times ahead, privately, corporately, and then nationally. I have not delayed. I assure you, I have not delayed. God said the first name that you will hear a lot about is focus. Focus will be a buzzword. And that's okay, for it will be a sign to you that focus is among you. Focus is doing just that. The assignment of focus is to help you focus on two things, God and what he's doing. That's what, you know, God's saying this. Both for you and through you. Focus on my word. Focus with my spirit. Focus for my kingdom with my power. Focus on answers to prayer. It is the glory. Focus to act and focus to be and focus to love. So keep focused on the things that God has been speaking to us. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Yes, you can do it, says the Lord Almighty. Stay focused, for the earth is longing to see my glory. Stay focused and it will be seen, says the Lord of the host. If you stay focused and don't get discouraged, everything that God has spoken is coming to pass even as we speak. And God told me today, he said, it is time for me now to vindicate my children. And a lot of us have been waiting to be vindicated. And God said he's going to start vindicating his children. He's already started. And we're going to see some things really come down the road that other people are going to be upset over. But we'll be rejoicing because we know that God is vindicating us and bringing the truth to light. All right, the second angel's name is Impact. Impact is sent to help you make impact upon all that you do. Preaching, living, witnessing, reading, working. Yes, all you do. So when you get ready to preach, say, Impact, get up here. Come to attention, right? When you're praising, Impact. Get up and help me praise. Let my feet dance, you know. The impact you will have will be powerful and dramatic. Impact will cause the backslidden to come back. Yes, they are coming back. That's what that one song is all about that we sang tonight. I have heard the cries of mothers across the earth for their young. I am sending impact to the lost and wounded, for I heard a mother's cry. I must encourage you, says the Lord, I must. I shall impact the earth with great signs and wonders. God said the first great assignment of impact is to dramatically influence the arts. I will impact the world with new excitement in the entertainment industry. I will change sound to co-deliver with celestial sounds, and it will impact the music world. And I think these new songs are out right now are doing exactly that. Both saved and unsaved musicians and writers will emerge with this sound. No competition, says the Lord. I will the world to hear. A new sound is what he's brought forth. And he's promised us that it was coming. God said, I will create new color, and the art world will be changed. A new type of eco-friendly plastic will be created. A formula is being developed now. I have given it to one of my own, and the one who creates this will give all glory to me, says the Lord, for I love the world. See, God has been saying he wants his people to start new businesses, and he's going to bless those businesses. God said, I am releasing impact to the church to create movies, write books, and sing songs, and create new pottery. So when you're getting ready to write a book, say, Impact, come on. We've got a job to do, right? The potter's wheel will come forth, and it too will be a great sign. As Jacob, as God's speaking, I'm thinking, I wonder what that's going to look like. You know, what kind of pottery, what kind of things is he going to come up with? Isn't that exciting? As Jacob used a rock to build me an altar, I will see pottery come forth from the sand of the earth, and beauty will emerge. I will change the hearts of stone and make hearts of flesh. I will not delay. I ask you to receive them. I have dispatched help and will not delay. Now, he's talking about the backsliders and the lost. He wants you to receive them when he sends them in. In Matthew 10:7, it says, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And God said, yes, my kingdom is at hand, for I have sent impact to strengthen you to, number one, see what I am doing, and number two, to be a part of what I am doing, both for you and through you. I will not delay, for I have sent you help. Get that down into your spirit. God is going to use you to do things that other people have never done. He's bringing new things on the scene that has never been here before. What these little guys that whiz around in the air on these little saucer things, you know, that movie, kids' movie, Jetsons. You know, he's going to bring forth stuff like, you watch and see. This is all already in the play. You know, it's already started. And, you know, I'm sort of excited to see what all kind of things. And I know my two boys will get so excited, I won't be able to stand them about what God's bringing forth. And you know, and he's using these young kids. My two young kids are very intelligent. And, you know, and they look into how things are made and what God's doing. That's what they're always searching for. And so I can see where God is using this younger generation to do the greater things that he couldn't do with the other generations. Matthew 24:48 says, But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, I tell you, I will not delay, for I have sent you help to usher in my coming. For my spirit is roaming to and fro, looking, and my spirit is revealing much. And 1 Corinthians 2:10 tells you that. Now, how many of you, because God said to me, they must understand that the angelic host is here on earth waiting to help them. These angelic hosts are on assignment, and they know exactly what they are supposed to be doing. Why not it be you that these angels come to and give you this deep revelation? Why do they have to go outside the church and find a lost person and get them saved to share that information with? You understand this? And God's saying, some of you are on a slow boat to China and it's sinking. And you need to get off the boat and start swimming in the deep waters. All right, so you're lagging behind, God's saying. And there's so much in us. Every one of you, you have so much intelligence in you, but you don't get it. You don't bring it to its fullness. You let the enemy keep you sort of stifled. God wants to bring everything he placed you to the forefront right now and use you mightily. Are you understanding this? Some of you are just sitting back, twiddling your thumbs, and really and truly, God has a great and a mighty works that he already wants to start within you. All right, this is something I read about Bob Jones. He said, years ago, as I was adoring the Lord, I was taken to the Hope Room, where I received a radiant, hope-filled view of God's plans for the nations of the earth. I was taken above the clouds of doubt and despair. And isn't that where the world's at right now, in doubt and despair? At that time, I did not have a real hope that cities and nations could love God well. In answer to my doubts, the Lord said, tell Nineveh it doesn't work. And God's talked about us being Nineveh just recently. Tell Nineveh that it doesn't work to believe in me. You must also change. The Lord was using Nineveh as an example of an evil city that turned to God when his word was released to them. The Lord encouraged me to take all the territory you can in this hour. Hear that. Take all the territory you can in this hour. He showed me how he desires to bring forth cities and nations that will love him well in this hour through his people. He said, though you are inwardly torn and flawed, you have a seat at the table of honor, and the king will speak to you there. That's what God said. Though you are inwardly torn and flawed, you have a seat at the table of honor, and the king will speak to you there. There's so many of you, you have so many creative things inside of you, and I watch you, and I thought, why don't you just let this come forth? why don't you just let God move upon you and bring all that creative things to the forefront? And I'm watching some of you, I know you're so creative, and yet you're not doing anything. You're like you're in a bog somewhere, and the devil's just holding you down, and he's not allowing you to come forth and use that creative stuff that God has given you. Don't allow him to steal any longer. Make him let go. And you be the creative person God's called you to be, Now, Bob Jones said, I had an encounter where I saw a Hope glory train. Here's this glory train again. Being released, it would stop at different places across the earth where the glory of the Lord was to rest and reside. Now, I know that we are one of those places. I just know that. The Hope glory train would only stop where, number one, the love is, and number two, where the veil is thin between heaven and earth. That describes us to a T. The ones of you who don't love, I'm praying you get smacked on the head. Amen, by God. All right, number three, where the hope is, and we have hope right in the church. And number four, and where the invitation is given. How many times has God invited us to come and dine? Come up hither. Sit at my table. Let you and I just commune together. Guys, we could be so much further along if we would just let God have control and do the mighty things that God's calling us for to do. You know, Sister Barbara has told me she's so busy she doesn't know how she's going to get everything done. And today, Brother Allen told me, I'm just so busy I can't even see straight. And God told us we were going to be that busy, said you to be happy. Because you're on the right road. You're so busy, you don't know what you do with yourself. But God will help us, right? Yes. Come on. All right, the Lord is sending out pioneers like Bob Jones and others who will put people in place and decree a new thing or reality in those settings, and it will happen. Let's read that again. The Lord is sending out pioneers like Bob Jones and others who will put people in place and decree a new thing or reality in those settings, and it will happen. All right, so let's just say, like, we started a new church. You know, somebody else started under our name. We put those people out there, and we help those people get started, and that thing's going to take off and just really blossom. I don't know if we've done one or two. I know we've done, we've done others in the past, but I'm talking about right now. And see, and God lays it upon our heart to help people like that start their churches. And so I know because God lays them upon our heart to help them, and sometimes it's sort of hard to get them moving, but once they move, you know, then God starts moving in their midst, and they're happy they did. All right? God might say to you, you know, all right, let's just use Barbara. You might meet somebody and say, God just told me you're supposed to be a real estate person. If God really told you that. And then, you know, as you talk to them, you know, they get started to get interested in it. And then God just keeps giving you revelation knowledge about what he wants to do with them. And then you just sort of help them. You only do what God tells you to. And you help them to become a better real estate person than you are. Isn't that how it works? They should always be better than you are. All right? That's why I'm holding you all down. I don't want you better than I am. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Amen. I want to see you guys go through the roof. I really do. I just want you to know what it is to sit in the very presence of Almighty God and be so consumed by him and that he's all that matters. Amen. All right, as Bob Jones said, I saw that through adoration, these hope-filled hope reformers will discover the four forgotten faces of God that the Lord is emphasizing for the body of Christ, the Redeemer God, the Builder God, the Supplier God, and the Wise God. God instructed me to get up early in the morning every day and adore these four particular faces of God. This caused me to go deeper and deeper, so when I faced problems and situations during the day with family, in business, and with people, that the atmosphere was changed around me as I had invited God in through adoration. So the four faces are the Redeemer God, Builder God, Supplier God, and Wise God. And as you adore these four faces, then he says that God's with you during the day to help you. My circumstances became radiant with the power and the presence of God, and a whole new lifestyle came forth for me because he adored these faces. God is inviting all of his hope reformers into this glorious reality. The Lord showed me that as these hope reformers would set their hearts in adoration every day and purpose to magnify and adore the Lord first, their perspectives would be lifted up above the clouds of doubt and despair, and they would begin to see with God's eternal heavenly perspective. I'm going to tell you, I really, really, really made it an effort to make sure I seek God's face before I do anything else in the morning anymore. You know, I don't give something, you know, or 10 minutes on the computer, then go with God. I make sure that he's the very first thing in my heart. And I know some of you already do that, but I know some of you don't. We've gotten sort of off track with that. But we need to make sure that God is the first thing that we talk to in the morning. And just to say, good morning, God, glad you're there, and then go about your business. That's not sitting in his presence and adoring him, all right? He watched as their first response to crisis or challenges were no longer doubt, fear, or anxiety, but their faces became radiant. This is what Bob Jones was seeing, all right? He watched as their first response to crisis or challenges were no longer doubt, fear, or anxiety, but their faces became radiant as they magnified and extolled the greatness of their God. Their emotions and thought were no longer altered by their circumstances, but their hope in God began to change the circumstances around them. See that? They're hoping God changed their circumstances around them. They became firmly planted adoration pillars, spreading the fragrance of Jesus everywhere they went. We don't quite fill that slot yet. And we should be. We've been in this too long not to be, right? So what God is calling you forth as a firmly planted adoration pillar, spreading the fragrance of Jesus everywhere you go. How many of us do that? Let's be honest with yourself. How many of us really do that? You get up in the morning, you fight with your wife, tell your kids to shut up, and then you walk out the door and go to work and wonder why your day isn't a good day. Right? You don't get up before your wife or your kids do or your husband and kids do and go into your private place and seek God's face and praise his four faces and invite God into every circumstance, every situation that you come into. All right, we invite the devil in by the other things that we do. And I'm sorry, I know that there's many guilty ones here. And I used to be guilty of carrying on with people, but I didn't put God first. I'd get up and go out to my computer and see if anybody wrote me during the night. Then I'd answer all my emails. Then I would say, okay, God, now let's you and I get a word for the day. Come on. I mean, that was my routine. That was not adoring God. And he'd always give me a word. Then I would say thank you and go about my business. How many times do you think he wept as I walked away? When he wanted me to linger a little bit longer and just talk to him and, you know, and tell him how much I loved him. And are you understanding this? And I know I'm not the only one that does that. I think the majority of the body of Christ, now not everybody, because I'll get a lot of flack about this, but the majority of the body of Christ does that. And I spend time with God before I go to bed, or I spend time with God, but God wants him to be the first fruit of the day. Seek him first while he may be found. And then he'll add all these other blessings to you. So I said, God is calling you forth as a firmly planted adoration pillar, spreading the fragrance of Jesus everywhere you go. That's the altar call. You're saying, God, I want to be a firmly planted adoration pillar. And everywhere I go, people will smell the fragrance of God on me and not the fragrance of the world. Well, do you know what happened to me today? Come on, we all do that, right? That's not the fragrance of God. That's the fragrance of the world. The atmosphere has been impacted heavily with negativity and hate. And this is why even the church has gotten away from, not everybody, has gotten away from adoring the Father first thing in their day, because the world has taken over the atmosphere. We have to take that atmosphere back, saints. We have to be examples of who Jesus Christ really is. And I know that I know that I know that you know that the harder you try to be that, the harder the devil attacks you until he discourages you to some degree. But we're going to have to be like these. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of the Joel 2 army, don't you? That devil won't have any place. He won't be able to discourage me ever again. That I'm just going to take and kick him right in the nose. Stomp him under my feet. Do whatever we have to do. But don't let don't allow him to have any headway in our lives ever again. God's saying, are you ready for the perfect works that he wants to do through you? Are you really submitted to him tonight where you say, God, here I am. Fill me to overflowing with your very presence so that I take Jesus every place I go. The altar's open. If anybody wants to come to the altar, if you don't, that's fine. But I'm going to give you a few minutes to decide whether or not you want to come. You might have already made your decision while you was listening. I don't know. Do you want a chair to sit on, Nancy? Yeah, because...